March 2nd and Sidewalks meeting. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Viverka?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
All right. Without any further ado, we'll jump with Doug and get into Leon Karas' presentation. Obviously, the biggest focus of this meeting is to, at the start and the kickoff of the building season, the summer and the spring and summer building season. So, Leon, you have the floor.
Thank you, Council President Viverka, and good afternoon, committee members.
Excuse me, Dave's going to be a few minutes late. He just texted me, sorry. Okay.
So just to give you a quick update on our the 2020 and 2021 winter update. So the snow equipment is currently up and running with no major breakdowns throughout the course of the season. So we've been able to handle all the snow events, I think, fairly well this year. We've had no issues with receiving salt. Currently, the department has about 1,800 tons of salt on hand, and we've used roughly 3,800 tons of salt so far this season. In 2021, we're going to continue on with our catch basin cleaning. We've cleaned roughly 75% of the city's catch basins, and the plan is to do about 20% of the city per year. We're a little bit behind that. Last year, we fell behind a little bit due to COVID and the staggering of manpower and the way we handled some jobs. But I think we'll be able to get back on track again this year. We're in our fifth year, and the goal is to get through the whole city in 5 years. And the sewers that we're going to focus on this year are falling within the Friday's rubbish room. So, and which is nice, because I think Lafayette's were just, that whole Lafayette neighborhood was just redone, so there's not going to be too much cleaning doing there. But, we're going to do this stuff, Willow Poplar, and then, things going north on 21, which a lot of that has already been done. So I think, Cleaver Longiano area, so it'll focus a lot of the streets off of Rockside as well. Crack sealing this year, we're focusing in on, Treelawn, Okra Circle, Montello, Dalebrook, Valley Vista, Brookside, Twin Creeks, Sherrilland, Patriots Way, Liberty, Summit Park, Freedom Square, Ben Franklin Way, Oak Street Boulevard, Rockside Woods North, and West Creek. And we're also, we're going to work in conjunction with the engineering department to make sure that, all the streets that are going to get mastic sealed will get crack sealed first as well. Sidewalk repairs. We're looking at Brooksville Road north, north of Sealand to Rockside Road, Tulip Trail, Victoria Circle, Hillside west of 21. We're going to go into the older part of Grandview and Springview as well. And then some of the large asphalt strip patch work that we want to do is off of Old Rockside Road, Eastview, and we want to get onto that T-ball field road as well, over here by the service garage. And that's pretty much it. Those are the big road projects that we have planned and sidewalk projects that we have planned for the summer of 2021. Any questions?
Just have a question more related to the snow. I noticed along Grandview, for instance, when the independent plowers plow the driveways, what kind of instruction do we give them as far as getting the snow so it's not blocking the sidewalks after we use the sidewalk plows?
Well, which, like our...
The independent contractors. The independent contractors, when they plow the driveways out, they often pile the snow up where the sidewalks are.
Yes, so the contractors have to put it next to the apron. That's kind of the rule. We're not plowing it across the street. They have to do their best job to get it off to the sides of either the right or left-hand side of each apron. I know it's difficult because there's a lot of narrow tree lawns throughout the city. We do our best to kind of to plow through those, and we send out crews to even kind of clean up the snow that we push back in the people's driveways. This is how we've been doing it for years. It seems like it's the most effective way to do it. We can't expect these snowplow contractors to, you know, push the snow across the street or into vacant lots or up past the sidewalk and into people's front lawns. It's a little bit, it's kind of a tricky situation. So we've been managing it the best we can. And, you know, I think we try to, you know, take care of all the complaints as they come in. And we try to be a little bit more proactive because there's a lot of times we'll just send out the pickup trucks to follow our you know, sidewalk plows as well.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, Leon, thank you for your presentation. I'm glad to hear that.
Dale?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Jim Trakas here, greetings. Just curious, Leon, if I might, how are we doing on salt and where are our reserves as opposed to where we were last year?
So we have, we currently have 1,800 tons of salt on hand, and we've used roughly 3,800 tons of salt this season. We were obligated to buy 80% of our allotment, which is 5,000 tons. So we're 4,000 tons is what we're obligated to purchase. And I think, you know, we're still well under that because, you know, again, we started with quite a bit of salt at the beginning of the season. So we're still well under. But I think we've only purchased, I can look it up, as far as what we purchased this year.
The question, Leon, is what are we obligated to purchase yet?
Oh, that's what I got to find out. So let me look up and see what we've purchased so far.
So the importance of that is when we're paying so much, you know, $80-some a ton or whatever it is, it's important that we make sure we at least have in reserve everything we're obligated to rather than just wasting money. So at $63 a ton,
yes,
we're gonna make sure we commit or take our obligation.
And we always have. We've never left it. We have capacity now. I think even right now, our capacity is where we would be able to, if we filled up our hoop houses, I think we'd be okay to take all that salt in.
What are we capable of storing? How much did we have stored at the beginning of the year?
We had a little under, we probably had around 2,000, 2,500 tons at the beginning of the season.
So we're obligated to buy, we've used 3,800.
Yeah.
We've got 18, so we have to get to buy 2,000 more tons, what you're saying, 2,200 more tons.
Yeah, roughly, yeah. But see, so every year we've never not received all the salt that we need. So we've always had the way we've been managing the salt is we've always met our minimum requirement, and we've never left any. We've never paid for salt we have not received. So we'll be okay because typically what happens in a light snow year is they will extend that. So typically we have to receive everything before the end of October. But the last couple of years they've extended it out to December.
They just keep us up to speed and those the metrics because we want to make sure that we finance should be aware of that too, that what we're obligated to pay by yet. So.
Right.
Dale?
Yes.
Leah, can you, I have two things for you. Can you fill me in on, I heard that there's damage to the roof of the teepee hut for salt that they're not recommending us put in there because there's a tremendous amount of water that's coming in from the roof of it. How true is this and how bad is the damage to that building?
For the hoop, yeah, there are some tears. We've looked at getting it repaired. Nobody's ever recommended us not putting salt in there. The holes are, you know, isolated and they're in specific areas. So I know Dennis and I have worked on getting a quote to replace that. And we've also got quotes to, we're looking at getting quotes to repair it as well. But I think at this point it's been repaired on so many different occasions that we're probably looking, we're better off trying to replace it.
Okay. And the second one, when it comes to the brining, how much of that do we keep on hand? And on any given, you know, treatment, how much do we go through?
So on brine, we have capacity to store about 7,000 gallons. And when we try to do a pre-treat, we pre-treat all the rows. Typically, we pre-treat at about 15 gallons per lane mile is what's recommended through ODOT. So we do between 15 and 20 gallons per lane mile. And so, you know, we can pretty much pre-treat the whole city with, you know, we have a little over 100 lane miles, so probably 105, 107 lane miles. So we can, and our three small trucks hold 1,000 gallons apiece. So, you know, we can cover the whole city with basically just those three trucks and still have left over. And they're pretty good about delivering, you know, once we put in an order, you know, they'll deliver the brine pretty quickly.
That was my next question about the follow-up on how quickly we can get that if we ran out.
And there's two different suppliers for the brine that we can go to. We prefer to use the Cargill brine, but if you ever gotten a bind, there's another ODOT-approved brine that's out there that we've used through a company out of Brecksville called Aqua Selena. We haven't really, we don't use them too much anymore, but we stick with the Cargill product.
And then can you give me one more thing? What is the price breakdown on that brine?
Yeah, so when you get it from Cargill, it's like 49 cents a gallon. And when you get it from Aqua Selena, that's like 28 cents a gallon.
Thank you.
What's it cost to make it?
You know, we don't make it right now, Mayor, because we don't have the equipment to make it.
Would it be cost efficient for us to make it since we just spent all that money on the trucks to?
Yeah, you know, that's something we're going to be looking at. We just wanted to see how everything worked. You know, the goal is to eventually get back into making it. We used to make it in the past, and all of that material, all of that equipment was housed inside the building.
Okay.
Which wasn't great for the building, and when we moved it out, it just became really difficult to do. This was several years ago. We stopped making it.
Okay. Thanks, Leon.
You're welcome.
Okay. Case that takes us to Don, your turn.
Chairman, hello. Hello, Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of council, Vern, Debbie, hello.
Hey, Don.
Hello, Don. Let me try to, here we go. Through some slides here for you as we're providing an update. Prioritization 2021 projects. And when I think of prioritization, I'm thinking of things that are heating up for construction and or in the immediate queue for construction. And this is the general list of the projects I want to touch upon in further detail in the order that I have them sequenced here. So the first project is the Upper Brookside Phase 2 project. This was a next two slides are copies of exhibits we issued as part of our resident notification and update. It provides some general information. The job is officially kicking off on March, yesterday. It started yesterday, March 1st. Notice to proceed, 120 days. The entire next 4 months, they'll be working out there. Trees have come down yesterday and today that are required for the project. And this is a general by month. Basically, the work schedule is falling in terms of month of March is underground storm sewers. The month of April, they'll be focusing on the first lane of pavement removal and replacement. We think it's going to be the southbound lane based on where the storm sewer trench is. And then a month after that, in May, they'll be shifting to the other side of the road. And then the final month, I think, will be the aprons and sidewalks and a lot of the final landscaping restoration. other than that, I don't have anything else to update you on. If there's any questions, or if not, we'll move to the next project.
The ones that that were required that we paid for last fall, the cost of those, I don't know, they call them a trash collector, related to the drainage, are those backed out of the contract?
Are your the water quality manholes?
Yes.
Yes, there are three of them. This project.
We ordered those already, correct?
Well, going to, right. Council passed some legislation and we authorized some funding, and because the award was a little bit delayed, and by the time we awarded the job to Fabrizi, we really didn't feel the need to pre-order. We were able to still pre-order through Fabrizi. So ultimately that work is still in the base bid and it's in their contract. So the PO that we had issued specific to the manufacturer for those water quality manholes can be likely be liquidated.
How long will it take to get those?
Well, they have already been ordered. They should be showing up, Councilman Walchan, next week.
Perfect.
Thank you. Good.
And Don, the sidewalks in that area is going to be just on one side of the street?
Correct. Yes, they'll be on actually the opposite. So phase one, they were on the west and the north. And at this intersection, will be transitioning with a crosswalk to the east side, and they'll be running up the east side for phase two.
Very good.
Don, I noticed there's a bump on the top on the left. Is that just to repair some of the front part of Lake Charles, or what? Because I know we discussed not expanding that entryway.
Correct. Yeah, that's just to represent that we're doing a little bit of work for the intersection. The entire intersection is being ripped out in its general configuration and geometry, but just with elevations, we need to. But right, we are not putting boulevard in.
Thank you.
And Don, there'll be signage indicating the crosswalks there at that intersection.
Correct. There should be some advance warning signs. Right. Is it currently not a stop condition? So
no. You want to make sure cars don't go too fast.
Right.
And about the sidewalks on Lake Charles, both sides, one side.
There's on both sides until you get, there's a gap right
here. Right.
On the north side. And we, it's not part of this contract, but we did, we do have a bid in a, I think it's the concrete maintenance contract has the extension, the completion of this sidewalk in that bid. But we, depending on how our budget is looking, we can consider having Fabrizi do it while they're here on this project.
We'll look and see what the price difference is. If it's better for Fabrizi, cheaper for Fabrizi's contract. The only reason I mention that is because it may be safer to put the crosswalk on the north side of that road, because then you're not dealing with a right-hand turn traffic challenge and potential liability. You're actually, anybody that's on Brookside or turning left will have clear vision to, rather than being on the south side. If you're making that turn and somebody's at the turn, you don't know if they're going across the street. It may create a more challenging situation. Think about it.
Okay, we can look at that.
Don, is that where the sidewalk's missing there? Is that a buildable lot or no? Just
I thought it was.
Looks like you could put a house on there.
I do believe at one time it was all one parcel, but I think it might have been split. I'm not certain. Revisit the tax map.
Okay.
Don, when will the traffic pattern change on that part of Brookside?
That the one lane, one way should be implemented tomorrow.
Okay.
And then continue throughout.
Thanks, Don.
Mm-hmm. Well, just one more thing to note. So on your legislation for next day's meeting, we have a number of proposed ordinances to cover inspection services and This one in particular, on the docket, ordinance 2021-29, is to authorize a contract with EDG for the inspection of this phase two Upper Brookside project. Just to make you aware of that.
Don, who inspected the phase one?
That was Donald Boning and Associates. That was the
engineer
for the project. We chose to just go a different direction and not have the same consulting firm who designed it be also inspecting it. So have a little bit of a separation there. So we selected EDG.
I like that idea.
Yeah. And they worked for us before with Breton?
Yes, they were out on Breton. They were also out on the, when we had the water main, the water main project for the Top Golf Road extension.
Yeah.
G inspected the that water main portion of that project.
Good. And you're pleased with their work?
Yes. So moving on, if there's no more questions, the next project, the Hillside Road sidewalk improvements. Recall that contract was awarded to Joyous the Bourbon back in fall, I think September, when we were considering the possibility of trying to get it constructed at the tail end of last season, but we chose to keep it on the sidelines and hold Joya off till the spring so that they could start their work and complete it in decent weather. So we are issuing the notice to proceed on March 15th, a couple weeks from now. And that'll be a pretty short, quick hitter, 60 days, 2 months. It's a fairly straightforward project, storm sewer improvements and then sidewalk improvements and drive apron replacements and landscape.
Now, what was the gas line being done over there by Twin Creeks?
So there was an elevation challenge getting on near the Twin Creeks intersection, and there's a pretty good cut in grade to facilitate the sidewalk construction, and because of the grade was being lowered, it was decreasing the cover of top of the existing gas line, so they had to relocate.
That was all part of it.
It was in preparation for this
preparation.
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. So that we're going to be putting together notices for the residents here this week and putting everybody on notice that the project will formally begin on the 15th.
Can you say 2 months, Don, it should be done?
Correct. Yeah, weather permitting.
Don, have you heard when they're supposed to do the bridge? Because didn't we talk about trying to do it all at the same time, so if they had to close Hillside down, it would just be easier?
Yes. Councilman Chanowitz, we just sat through a pre-construction meeting with the county for that bridge project just this morning.
Okay.
And they are their construction duration is a 90-day contract duration that the starts at the end of March, goes through the end of June. Now, within 90 days, within the 90 days, there's a 30-day closure period. The contract doesn't know when that's going to happen. But in general, it should be lining up pretty nicely right now.
Right.
Yep. And then just to dovetail in again for inspection on the council meeting agenda, we are recommending we authorize GPD Group for a $50,000 construction management and inspection contract. We thought that they did a good job, the team of DeJoya, in partnership with GPD on the contract. We thought it would be good to keep them together and have another successful project here. That was the thought process with GPD. Next contract. Hot on our plate is the 2021 crack seal. That project has been advertised. We have three plan holders. Bids are due to be open tomorrow. And there's a $200,000 line item budget for 2021 for the contract. And we may, if possible, if we can get a quick award letter turned around, we may try to get something on the agenda yet for this next Tuesday's meeting. But we'll see. The contract is Leon maybe mentioned it, it's heavily skewed this year back to the mastic surface seal. These streets are identified in the base bid, and they're all streets that have been recently paved and or are in good shape and could stand to benefit from this mastic program. Some are more recently paved, and then others are 2 to 3 years old, give or take. I think Beverly was done in 14. Busker, Tanglewood, Evergreen, that was done, I think, in 19. Grandview has already been masked once, but it's due. It's still in nice shape. It's due to be done again. Delmer. So it was a good number of streets. And then in the, we also had a base bid, or rather an alternate A bid for the Independence Estates streets. So you recall that project was, resurfacing was done in 2012. And I believe in 2018's contract for crack seal, it was, they were all mastic surface sealed. And by and large, I think the road's holding up well. And we, it's, we thought it might be a nice idea if the funding was available to get a price for that subdivision as an alternate bid.
Don, I got another question about that, this type of sealing. With the city going to grinding all of our streets, does that have any effect on that, how that holds up?
Brining?
Yeah, brining over this new type of sealing?
No, shouldn't have an effect. The mastic surface seal really seals up the pavement, and the asphalt pavement is holds up better to the salt and brine in general.
Yeah.
Isn't susceptible to the chlorides of the salt as concrete typically is, so... Oh, I think it's, it lends itself. I don't think there's a detriment whatsoever. One other thing in the contract is you notice some parking lots, the City Hall parking lot and the parking lot. Those were also paved in 2018. They were pretty much set to be steel coated anyway, and we thought we would buy a mastic surface seal on these lots in lieu of the typical parking lot seal coating material. So in the base bids, it includes these two parking lots, which are in, still in great shape, and we want to keep them in play.
Now, when did you say the bids are due by? Are there where you're going to open the bids?
Tomorrow.
I see.
10 in the morning.
Potentially, it could be three bidders on this?
Yes, two firms we've never heard of, and they're a little bit out of town.
Mm.
But they seemed interested. As soon as the advertisement hit the paper, they were inquiring on the job.
Thank you.
Moving on, we still have our 2021 concrete maintenance contract on the docket. You recall that was the 2020 Katz construction project that was pretty much delayed or to the side and for East Shaft. But we've extended that contract from 2020 to 2021, and essentially the 2020 program will be constructed under this contract. It's a $400,000 budget line item, and it's just the traditional citywide work, pavement replacement, joints and slabs, catch basin repairs, some sidewalk repairs. It's the runs the gamut, curb and gutter replacement. So the streets in yellow on the map are the streets that were in the base bid, and then there were some alternate bids that were not authorized but that are still sitting there should council desire.
Don, did we use much of, I'm looking at our 5-year capital plan, and it looked like there's still $379,000 open from last year, is that true, or?
Yeah, and I wonder if there's maybe some invoices for Shaft that haven't come through or in the process of being paid as of the date of the sheet versus the present. But that does seem like it's higher than what I think it might be. Or if it's accurate that it might include something that I'm not thinking of right now.
We've got
we got to finish shaft road yet, correct? The top coat has to go on yet?
Correct. Yes, I'll speak to that here shortly, but yes, that's accurate. And there it is right there. Yep, east shaft. And all we got to do is put the top inch and a half on. So nothing really concrete related, all asphalt work. We do think we need to do it on a Saturday because of the traffic, the business traffic, the large trucks that move in and out of there that we experienced during the intermediate course application. So I do believe Roniak Paving does want to get it done early when the plant's open, just because it's been sitting there and it's work that's already in the queue. So as soon as weather permits, I think we'll be finishing this road project up and when the plant's open.
Don, what kind of weather do they need to be able to start the batching plants up?
Yeah, I don't know how they, I know they need asphalt, the minimum per ODOT is 40 degrees and rising. And that's the surface temperature, not necessarily the ambient temperature. So, you know, it depends on the forecast and the demand of jobs that are, that the plants are, know is work coming up. I don't know how they determine when to open. And here again, ordinance 2021-27 is being proposed for ACM to continue their work to oversee these maintenance contracts, the concrete and the asphalt. They did a nice job with the work up there on East Shaft, and we've very cost effective, and we've been able to utilize them for a lot of the creek maintenance contract work that Geotech and CATS has been performing throughout the winter. We've been utilizing ACM to oversee that work, and the money's about run out and in need of being renewed, contract being renewed. The 2021 asphalt maintenance contract. Showing you some streets here and some budget figures. The one big one that we feel we want to have to attack this year and to potentially include into a maintenance contract is the Rockside Road resurfacing. We received a $250,000 grant. $500,000 is set up for the overall project. It's basically from Brecksville Road to the East Court Limit with Valley View, and I believe we have the latitude of when to get it done. It has to be this construction season, 2021, and there'll be, we just received yesterday from the county agreements, some legislation, consent legislation. We will likely, you'll see this similar to what we just passed a month or so ago for the East Pleasant Valley Road bridges. You'll see this on the legislation probably for April to partner on this Rockside Road project. In addition to that, we have a $400,000 general line item, and we have certain streets targeted in neighborhoods, and some projects have independent budgets, which is in lieu of or in addition to the $400,000. So Timber Lane, Midland Ranch View resurfacing, we have a target budget of $550,000. Valley View Drive resurfacing, I believe it was actually money encumbered in last year for this. And then Highland Midland, $200,000. There are sections of 21, if you recall, a year or two ago, we did some spot strip resurfacing. We might identify some additional sections on 21 south of Rockside Road to Sprague and that stretch.
When it comes to ranch land, you know, Timber Lane, Ranch View Drive, Scenic View.
Mm-hmm.
When I was walking that this past week, there's a fair amount of the curb that you've already replaced, but there are definitely sections that are bad. Is that going to be part of the contract, going to renew that pre the asphalt, or how are we doing that?
Yeah, I believe that was that work. I believe there's work in that neighborhood under this concrete project to catch a lot of those. I think Timber Lane still has a good amount.
Yes.
Of curb and gutter. So I definitely need to finish that up before we mill and fill that neighborhood.
Right, because I know we had a lot of those areas, particularly on Ranch View Drive, that were done a couple of years ago.
Right.
But Timber Lane definitely has a bunch of areas along it that definitely need attention. So that would basically make that whole area very nice.
Yep, that's the goal, to finish up with the remaining concrete curb and gutter, and then on our way out, resurface the whole neighborhood. So we will coordinate that with CATS, get that done in advance.
And how soon would that part be kicked off as far as with CATS?
Yeah, I have to check in with them. Coming out of the winter here, I think it's normally they're chomping at the bit. They haven't called me yet, so I don't know. They've still got guys on layoff. But it just depends on their workload, but we can get them in here, get them on the schedule.
Good.
And then what do we have for Eastview? I noticed Eastview is the last one on the list there.
Yeah, I thought that in one of the prior years, asphalt maintenance, 2019 perhaps, it was an alternate for Eastview.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that just to keep it, I don't know that it's on 2021, but knowing that we're going to be in the neighborhood and knowing that the section of Brookside between Rexville Road and Eastview might still be a year off on design and construction, that it might be a good opportunity to get up there at the top and get that completed. So, but nothing done.
All right, thank you.
A lot might depend on the budget, available budget. This is just showing the 400,000. And then next we have the Meadowbrook. I do believe we actually encumbered some money, $200,000 in last year's budget for this project. This is a quick schematic view of what a cul-de-sac would look like and how it would fit down there. Just this afternoon I met with Mr. Hovatter and showed him the drawings, and he's very accepting and willing to participate and cooperate to facilitate this turnaround, make it much more functional for our plow trucks and garbage trucks and snow plows, school buses. And a couple few trees might have to come down in this cluster, but by and large, it's a nice open green space that would accommodate an offset cul-de-sac, try to minimize the impact on the east side and sneak it in there on the west side where there's space available.
Well, those trees could become a nice part of the center island, Don.
Donut, yes. Yes. B. Lays out. The trees are, they look a little, the condition of them may not be the greatest, but we could consider that.
Trying to help out Jim Trigger's working in trees.
Yeah. Way to go, Vern. Good idea. What species are those, Don?
I think they might be maples or locusts. I was just there today looking at them, and I didn't pay too much attention. I apologize.
Not a problem. No, I spoke with Mr. Carmichael on Sunday, I believe, and if those are in such a condition they need to be removed, he said he expects the willingness to remove them. So,
okay.
Just passing that along. But if they're of a condition that might be useful, we want to make sure we work on the tree can.
Okay. We do believe that this, as we mentioned previously, a cold in place, full depth recycle, and then an overlay is what we think this project will entail. We do think, because of the topography and the need to be very precise on building this, we think a survey, we'd benefit from a survey out there on the street. And so this is just a general target schedule. Potentially get some survey work done in March this month, try to line us up for an April-May design and bid, and then construction hit the sweet spot in June and July when it's good and hot and school is out. So that's a general target of the schedule for this project.
And the condition of that bridge down that leads down there? That goes over.
Yeah, just Councilman Narduzzi, I was just speaking with Mr. Carmichael about that bridge, and I did get underneath it and looked up at it, and it's in pretty good shape. He said it was built in 1970. He was very certain of when it was constructed. So it's already 50 years. That's a long time. But, it's doing well. And the edges are a little bit deteriorated on the surface because of the asphalt deterioration and the drainage, salt water probably getting at it on the edges. But underneath looks good. And it's a short enough span. It does well. It's not excessive loads, but for the garbage trucks. But it doesn't. It's showing no signs of structural issues, but for the edges on the surface.
Don, did Mr. Carmichael point out that sandbar that diverts the water towards the east and makes approach at a kind of a poor angle, which makes it difficult for the water to get into both sections under the bridge?
Yes, we looked at that, yep, at length and discussed it, and it's significant. It's this, it's to call it a sandbar is even, I think, putting it mildly.
Good afternoon, Council Office.
Yes, it does need to be excavated. You can see that the box culvert that is off on this westerly side is half silted over, and it's exacerbating a condition here of erosion and
the outlet
end.
I will do that right now.
Blows, the velocities are excessive on the outlet end. So it
I know. That's no problem.
I think cleaned up on this edge.
You're welcome. We'll see you in a little bit.
And,
all right.
We may need to facilitate that with the creek maintenance contracts.
What about that tree that's on the south side towards the west? Because that's kind of in the area that some of the water probably would get through. Is that a problem or no?
A tree where? On the south side?
On the south side of Meadowbrook, mm-hmm. where the bridge is. It's kind of like almost at the edge where the bridge is.
I don't recall there being, I don't know that I looked at it too closely, but no, it shouldn't cause any problems with our, It should only help minimize any erosion on this end.
Don, I see on your map there, your plat map, you have the different owners of the parcels identified, and for Meadowbrook Boulevard, am I seeing that correctly, that it's in the name of the Carmichaels?
So it's an interesting piece of property. Mr. Carmichael educated me to let me know that it's actually owned by all of them. By the deed, they each have 1/6 ownership or something along those lines of this parcel. And they each pay 1/6 or some pro rata share of taxes on it. I think it happens to list them specifically on the surface of the ownership, but there's layers of ownership entities. They all own it, so to speak.
So before we go in and do work on a street that I'm assuming is not formally publicly dedicated, do we work through the law director's office just to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, that because technically it's private property?
Yeah, I discussed that at length out there today, this afternoon. And we can speak to Law Director O'Brien and see if there's a creative way. I don't believe there's a desire on the city side to dedicate it, nor I don't believe there's a desire of the homeowners to formally allow a dedication. But they've just said over the years there's been a history, so to speak, of the city's involvement. I believe the bridge in 1970 was a city endeavor. The pavement when it was last recycled, I think in the 80s or 90s, I believe was a city endeavor. We plow it, we pick up trash, so there's definitely but to your point, it's definitely still considered private, and if there's a way to get some sort of blanket easement, either be it temporary or even permanent to facilitate the work, maybe that's something that can be a mechanism that can be implemented.
Sure, thank you.
Hey Don, are we still planning? I noticed that we saved or put set aside $200,000 for the T-ball street also.
Correct, yeah, that was less of a priority, but it was part and parcel with this work to kind of create more quantity and to spread the mobilization and costs out over two jobs. So that, I think that is still something we'd be interested in. That road is in need of some improvement as well. So without any further discussion on Meadowbrook, we can move forward.
Yes, please.
Item number three was the Mannequin Smith report. I just tried to include, you know, pull dust that document off, pull it back up, and show you a couple sheets from that report. You know, that report is dated, already getting on in years, but this happens to be the couple sheets that dealt with 2021. And it was broken out in the global preventative maintenance and then major improvements, as well as local preventative maintenance, and also had a breakout of county routes. So we can look, kind of interesting to look back now, knowing what we've done and where we've been. And, you know, this is a template. It's a guiding document, as I'd like to say it, that it's provides oversight and some guidance, but we have the latitude and flexibility to change it and tweak it. So you can see some of these roads that were targeted for 21 have already been constructed in terms of the major improvements. Hemlock Road, that was a section we resurfaced with Chagrin Valley a number of years ago, the very road that we're now looking to do the mastic surface seal on. So that one was done a little bit in advance. Shaft Road here, that's one we just tackled last year. Greenwood also resurfaced, we're going to mastic it. Timber Lane, ready to go, 21, looks like we're going to hit that spot on. So, you know, Jefferson was part of the West Creek that we did a number, a couple, few years back. So, again, some of them we've done, some of them are planned for this year. So I think by and large, it was neat to look at it and know that we've been marching generally to the plan. And this also talks about, you know, you list up here PCIs, it's the pavement condition index number before and after. So what they're also trying to say that in Target 21, based on the last time Grandview and Oak Tree were resurfaced, that we should be spending a certain amount of money proactively in maintenance, and that's what these dollar values are. And they say 10% non-pavement, and that could be anything from curbs, sidewalks, things that aren't germane to the pavement, catch basins, and then some contingency. So I think by and large, when we have been actively crack sealing a lot of our good streets, we're sort of doing that on a yearly basis anyway. So next one here, I'll talk about local preventative maintenance. So that on these roads, there again, the PCIs, trying to get them to maintain them or improve them, keep them in the nice sweet spot of good pavements. And I think we've been doing that. Pleasant Valley Road, we've been crack sealing significantly over time. And if you drive through Seven Hills section versus our section, I think it's pretty evident, similar to that, those exhibits we looked at on Granger Road through Brooklyn Heights. You could really see how the crack seal has extended the surface life, but the surface of the improved the quality, held the road together. There's very minimal evidence of potholes and mill and fill strip patching versus the other sections of other cities, adjoining cities sections.
The other thing, Don, that you didn't mention, but it's definitely been true, is when there's an opportunity for us to cluster a street that might be a slightly different year, but with adjacent streets, it's economy of scale when it comes to bidding an area, like Greenwood, Hemlock, or Homoga, Cherry. You know, you're able to cluster those together. So even though those weren't exactly due at the same time, it made economic sense.
Correct. Yes. It made for a nice, yep, comprehensive project. It would be, yeah, not too practical to try to go in there. A couple streets. They were all close enough that I don't think it was, now if one of them was brand new, you wouldn't do that. We're all right, close enough. Where I think there again, this plan is not, it's kind of rigid and not too commonsensical in terms of, it gives us the flexibility to kind of to make those changes on the fly. So that's really all I wanted to gravitate towards on the Mannequin Smith, unless there's some other discussion or questions or comments in regards to the document.
No, that's good, Don. Obviously, one of the main reasons I wanted to make sure that people that may not have been on council were aware of the study that was done, and, you know, the method in our dealing with the streets and why we're targeting certain streets at certain times. So for those that may not be familiar and just kind of heard my reports talking about Manic and Smith, well, that's it. And we're almost to the point when we have to probably revisit the examination. Would you agree, or is that something we need to push down the road a bit?
Yeah, we might still have some time. I mean, it's, you know, we had a 10-year program from that document. Right. That definitely needs to be updated, though, right? Year after year, as we're creating, you know, making streets brand new with reconstructions, it's for sure this document is dated, and that we're every year updating the PCIs. And real quick before I move off of this topic, it's kind of a simple rationale. Basically, you spend dollars, almost like they almost have a formula that X amount of dollars buys you a PCI point. So when you're talking about trying to get from an 84 up to a 95, it costs so many dollars, and it's just that simple. When you're doing pothole repairs and mill and fill strip patching and crack sealing, you're buying yourself a better road, and it's pretty simplistic process or thought rationale behind it.
Well, and the graphs that they provide are excellent. I mean, they show the graph of basically how long you can make a road last, providing you're up all along the way, and then you hit a certain point, and then you're basically, any repairs and things you're doing, you're pouring down the drain. So, I mean, if you haven't looked at that part of the Manic and Smith report, any of the fellow council people, it is a excellent document for understanding about the process that we do with the streets. So appreciate that, Don. Question. Anybody else have a question related to Manic and Smith? Okay. Don, can you touch base a little bit? I will call it Middle Brookside Road, and I also know that behind the shopping center, there have been some corings. Can you talk a little bit about those, please?
Yeah, so right, as we're looking at the pavements, we want to make sure that, and this one in particular, in order to do a full depth recycle, you have to have a good section of asphalt there to begin with. And we just want to make sure that there wasn't just an inch or two of asphalt out here sitting on some stones or some dirt. So the cores, by and large, showed that we at least had 6 inches of material to recycle, and that's pretty much their maximum recycle depth anyway. So we did that here. And then for Valley View, we took cores behind the shopping center. Not so much for a recycle as much as just to know how thick the road is. It's pretty stressed on the surface, and we were concerned that if it was very thin, to try to get in some heavy road planing, the asphalt grinding machine and truck traffic, how it would hold up if it was very thin. So again, just trying to acquire data information to help make good decisions on what types of treatments we're considering for the rehabilitation project. We also did that on Brookside Road from Rexfield up to Eastview, because there again, wanted to just know what our options are, and what kind of thickness of road base we have to start with. And even if the decision's made to do a complete reconstruction, it's still helpful to know, for a contractor to know how much asphalt he has to remove and what the costs. So it's good to know the thicknesses rather than just guessing. So that was Terracon did that work for us late last year, I believe, or in the fall, I don't recall. Or earlier this year.
It was earlier this year. They were out there in February.
Okay. Yep.
Now, obviously, because we about 2 years ago when we opened the project, we were going to do a grind and fill on Brookside. And we moved that to hold that off until we did ranch land. Get taken care of those so we wouldn't damage a new street. Are you thinking in a specific direction related to that part I'll call Middle Brookside between Brexville Road and East? Gravitating towards?
Well, based on it really did get a lot of traffic with the road reconstruction of that phase one Upper Brookside, and it's going to see more with the phase two. And I think it's beyond the point of a simple mill and fill. I do believe it's either a full depth recycle or a complete reconstruction, and either with curb and gutter. And so I think, and I'll show you further on in the, when we're talking about 2021 engineering priorities, that's definitely on our priority list to make good decisions on that road and start that process, because I believe it's in 2022 for construction. It just, you know, it's a cost, it's a balance of cost. The reconstructions really escalate in cost because of the significant amount of work and some utilities that go along with it, major storm sewer improvements that go with it, adjusting the profile. So I do believe we thought about reconstruction, and I think we allocated a decent amount of funding in 2022 to account for that. Trying to see where that might show up on this 2021. Might be further down. So, getting ahead here, but I think we'll come across it. I do believe it's 21, some engineering work, and 22 construction.
Right. That's what I see on the 5-year.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? We'll keep moving right with the, basically for the 2021, we just had populated some of the capital, 5-year capital plans sheets. Apparently we did budget in 21 for Upper Brookside. I don't know if that was a landscaping component. For inspection. That's right, for construction inspection. So I believe EDG's contract can be funded from this budget. Correct, Vern?
Yeah, you had mentioned, you've got a slightly dated version here. You're using the 1/11/2021 version, and the one that I'm currently working off is a January 30th version. We've got the 1/1/13/071 that was already adopted in 2020. That money set aside. Your question was what about the inspections?
Correct.
We have $100,000 set, that $100,000 there. All it has to do is be assigned to a vendor. It's already been, appropriated or encumbered via that PO that you have listed there.
Okay, good. Okay, moving on. This was right on this. So here's that Brookside from Eastview to Brecksville Road. So right here is what I was referring to for some engineering work and construction split out over 2 years. And I do believe that was the higher dollar values, thinking that you're leaning towards the reconstruction and doing something significant with curb and gutters and improving the storm sewers up there, similar to what we're doing with the Cats and now Fabrizi. Not sure whether it's going to be concrete or if we could do asphalt, similar to Eastview, asphalt with concrete curb and gutters on the ends like Dania. So that's still yet to be determined, but that's where that's sitting. So that is a priority for 21.
Hey, Don, can you, if you have a moment or can check, there's a manhole on Dania that looks like they didn't put the top ring in. It's like it's about a 4-inch drop on one of the manholes, almost in front of the Repepi residence.
Okay.
It's a pretty good bump if you hit it, because I don't think they put the ring in.
Yeah, I think I can get away with maintaining the existing elevations and with the mill and fill, but on did resurfacing, yeah, some of those castings become very evident that they could use some adjustment. There's a one, I think, even worse further west that, but because of its location, it might span the car, the tires on your track, so unless you're hitting it, but you're right, if you hit these, they're very obvious. So we may adjust those to grade even now.
Thank you.
Another priority for 2021 from an engineering standpoint is the Kleber-Longano project, and that is slated for 2022 construction, but we do think we need to get out of the gate and secure engineering work and get that going to help us line it up and construct it either over the winter, bid it out early so that we can hit the ground running in 21 potentially. And as part of that work, wanted to consider now that the Topgolf Road and AAA is a nice boulevard entrance. Longano also has the ability to be improved and treated in such a fashion to allow additional space. There's a vacant lot here that really doesn't do much. It's been sitting there for a long number of years, immediately south of the Cornerstone property, that would provide some horizontal space to facilitate a very nice, improved intersection. And there will be a new, with the Brecksville Road project, a new traffic signal will be upgraded here, like Kleber.
Like Kleber, yeah.
Just like Kleber, so we think we could just got to do good coordination, both in the finalization of the engineering for 21, as well as engineering endeavors for Longano to accommodate this if there's a desire, and to make sure that we're coordinating those efforts, and that when it gets built logistically, that one project supplements and helps in the second project in a coordinated fashion. So thought it would be a nice, here's a nice view of what it could look like. Here's that green sliver of land, really unbuildable, and we think it could be a nice improvement, aesthetic treatment, and a nice set Longano really apart when we're getting ready to reconstruct all of Longano like we are with Kleber. Any questions?
And then we're going to have the same kind of lighting that we have by Topgolf all the way down to Rockside, or at least the cemetery there and everything?
Correct, yep. The decorative street lamps.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, real nice. Nice and bright at night. Both, we want to continue that south to Rockside as well as north of the bridge when that project is complete.
Now, is there any chance of splitting into two projects to focus on continuation from Rockside Woods North to Rockside Road?
Yes, Mayor, I think there's a good opportunity, but it's almost kind of setting up like that now based on what we did with the Part B project with Easy out there in 21. They've replaced a lot of the water main away from the bridge to this point. It will be very easy to pick it up here and just construct the southerly project as a standalone. Wouldn't necessarily need to be bid and packaged with the section from the bridge north to the cloverleaf.
Chairman, I think that we ought to consider that because for two reasons, financial as well as now that we've seen the impact of the completed section. We still have to upgrade the bridge. And I know that they're talking about a master plan for the cloverleaf area, which could impact the infrastructure on north of the 40 bridge. My only concern would be, is there an opportunity, Don, to squeeze any more right-of-way functionally out of this area so that we can, if it's a foot or two of pavement or safety for safety?
Aaron, we can look at that. Right, they're already, you know, we're going to try to continue with the 8-foot sidewalk. And to facilitate that, much like with the Fabrizi's project from last year, we have to move the pole line. So we're obligated to secure some strip right-of-way, both for the utility relocation as well as to facilitate our sidewalk and tree lawn. And I think we can look hard at trying to squeeze, see if these curbs can be pushed out a foot or two on one and or both sides. We can take a look at that.
I'd also like to, easements, we need to have people donate easements unless there's a material change to their property. I say that because we are making a major improvement. It's not being assessed. And to have to pay for right-of-way, that's not defining a purpose. If we're putting extending a sewer line, or if we are doing something of more functional needing for utilities, I can see that. But we need to at least have the understanding that donate the right-of-way or limits our capacity to do the improvement. There's no assessment. Does anyone see it differently?
Well, I
don't know. The Hillside project? Not on any of these projects that we're making substantial improvements to. If we are, then we should, people should be willing to donate their right of way.
I think the only downside is that obviously we've historically had it evaluated and paid for it, but I don't see a problem with what you're saying other than the fact that it kind of goes counter to what we've historically done.
I'm not so sure. It's episodically maybe, but historically, but I think there have been times that we have just asked for right of way, and when people saw the benefit, I, for one, believe that with the millions of dollars we put in the infrastructure, that people should be willing to see the benefit they achieve and the increased value of their property. And I'm going to pursue just making sure that we get the best value and we're not overpaying. And if there's, unless there's a substantial impact, negative impact, people should be more inclined to contribute that. They get a donation out of it, if nothing else.
It makes sense to me, Mayor, because we're actually paying them to improve their property.
Right.
You know, if you think about it.
And historically, I know that we did have, even after the property was evaluated, Don, tell me if I'm too far off, but we had at least a couple of people that were objecting to the evaluation. We had to jump through hoops for that.
Yeah, that happens on occasion, yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would just say, I guess, a little bit of a contrary note. Not everybody thinks this is an improvement to their property. They don't get the benefit of whatever they want to do to the property. The city gets to make that decision for them. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the reason we offer people money for them is because we're taking something that's theirs that they paid for that they never get the value out of. And not everybody thinks that having these quote-unquote improvements is valuable, and I predict that as we go down the street, which I really object to, and taking people's property on Rexville there, you'll get a lot of pushback, and I don't think you'll see a lot of donations.
Well, it's going to be, I guess then we all agree that it'll be a case-by-case basis.
Great.
Okay, moving along. Is everyone able to see my screen?
No.
No, we
not right now.
No.
There we go.
Now I see it.
Okay. Looking again, refocusing on some of our capital plan sheets. Nothing really of note in 2021 on the sheet, other than some monies that were encumbered actually in last year for this one in particular, Furmeyer. You know, out here another couple of few years is a major reconstruction, but the road is pretty distressed and in need of some either strip patching and or some improvements along the roadside edges to minimize rutting and to improve drainage. We did install some catch basins and storm sewer improvements along the edges to help with drainage, but the edges are very, they get utilized with some heavy trucks and tractor trailer storage, and we may need to just spend a little bit of money this year to try to beefen up that area to get us out a couple few years. Nothing else really to speak to on this page. Valley View Drive here again, I think we encumbered some funding last year, Valley View. So that's why it showed up in our 2021 asphalt program. And this is moving on to the TIF projects. Just to keep you focused on this project, the interchange and the gateway project is active. GPD is moving along on the design process, and just wanted to, just make mention of it. Coordinating with ODOT now, trying to set parameters on the areas of we're permitted to do the landscaping treatments and gateway improvements. So that is all according to schedule. And as soon as I can provide a better update, I'll circle back on that. Here's the sidewalk project with the Joya. That's ready to get going. There's just more. There's some updates. But just again, stage one, stage two, ODOT submittals. ODOT's heavily involved with the reviewing of the plans. So that work is ongoing. This is some other detail sheets from one of the stage one or stage two plans. The design is pretty straightforward. Our limits are for the ramp improvements. So nothing too much to update you there. Now, this project is in our queue. We have the Euthenics Engineering designing the West project. That's from Hawthorne Trace to 77. We are hopeful to bid that out here in another month or two and be under construction this summer. It's a pretty large project, and there are some major improvements needed to facilitate the work. But we're looking hard at, Mayor May mentioned some easement issues and some challenges to some of the evaluations and maybe the need to reconsider the design and try to avoid impacts to properties outside the right-of-way.
Number one priority is safety. We're making sure that is our constant, the constant during the project. But there's going to be some flexibility in this area, so that doesn't adversely impact residents or those that sidewalks.
I'm moving down the tier. Any other questions on hillside sidewalks? Moving along, looking at the 2021 COP. You have some seed money in an upgrade at the intersection of Pleasant Valley and I-77. And I think ultimately to try to do some major improvements with the ramps and signals in the next 2 to 4 years. And those are old span wire signals, and they're pretty much maxed out right now with the geometry and available lanes during the peak hours in the morning and the afternoon. There's just a significant volume of traffic that gets routed through there, and there's some backups. And there's potential for some upgrades and hopeful to have some ODOT participation and funding with anything that's identified with this project. This project was the Pleasant Valley Bridges. If you recall, I thought that we would need to squirrel away $200,000 total for the pedestrian facilities on Pleasant Valley. That was negated and no longer need that. Bern, you probably already updated it. I'm using the old sheet. It's probably been adjusted already.
Correct. Anytime we could delete, we do.
Okay. And then this is on your annual $100,000 budget for Rockside Road for joint repairs, crack seal, and that pavement in good shape. Nothing significant to talk about there. We'll talk about this Rockside Road. This is the Rockside Surfacing. There's the $500,000 I alluded to earlier. Here's the ramp interchange project. Nothing of any consequence here, I don't believe.
Yes, Ed, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Don, just on this ramp interstate project, you have, this is the one where we've been working on for a number of years now on the, with the county, or with the state?
Correct. Doing studies, yep, interchange modification studies.
So this is the modification, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And we did secure an ODOT, a major ODOT grant for this project. A little over $2 million for some safety. Those improvements are all to benefit the safety of the area and the interchange. Moving along, Rockside Woods North sidewalks and streetlights. You know, so when we did the extension of the road, you know, we upgraded the road from Rockside to the Embassy, and there's a glaring need now for a sidewalk along Rockside Woods Boulevard. There are streetlights out there that are the old style, and they're in the center median, and you do see large groups of people walking in the street from down by Kent State and or the offices down there. And there's a safety issue there, and this was what this project was targeting, getting a sidewalk constructed and maybe to carry that same nice street lamp post theme all the way down to Rockside. That was this project.
Don, is the engineering really going to be estimated to cost more than the actual construction?
No, in fact, we actually bid out the sidewalk portion of this in one of the alternate bids, I think, in 2020. And so we have a price. It's really light on engineering. We thought that the potential would be for some electrical design for the streetlight circuits. But there again, we may find that with a little bit of coordination with CEI, there's already a circuit out there. It may be a very minor cost for that. But of course, with the new post lamps, there's different photometrics, and there still might need to be some lighting design, but maybe nothing. I don't anticipate anything probably to the extent that's listed here in terms of cost. Moving on. Old Rockside Road Bridge shows up here, and I'm going to speak to that shortly, but this is the county agreement, settlement agreement, and that's been marching forward. Bruce Niples, a consultant, they've put together the right-of-way plans, and we are funding all their invoices and working through the finance department and the county to get reimbursed. And you have that concludes that portion for upcoming projects, but it segues into other matters. Relative to that bridge, as I mentioned with the county, there's a need for some right-of-way acquisition to facilitate the bridge construction, and I do have an ordinance on the agenda 2021-31 to facilitate some payments, to authorize payments for the right-of-way. And this exhibit here is a little bit hard to look at. It's an engineering right-of-way sheet. Basically shows that this is the existing bridge location. We're going to build a temporary road and a temporary bridge north of the existing road and bridge. And in order to do that, we just need right-of-way. We need temporary right-of-way from the businesses and businesses at the end of the project. So a spreadsheet here of the appraisals of affected properties and the appraisals that are required. $107,000 fair market value established, and I have requested authorization for up to $120,000 just to help with some final negotiations and to prevent the need to have to come back. But again, it's all refundable, reimbursable through the county. And we'd like to get this somewhat time sensitive, and we'd like to get this authorized Tuesday's council meeting.
So you're asking us to pay them to use their land for a couple of years, basically? It's just temporary, correct?
Right. There's a major aerial power line circuit that needs to get put to get relocated, and then ultimately it gets put back. But it's kind of in order to maintain traffic. It's just one lane, one way in and out, and we really have to keep traffic moving. And it's complicated. It's complex, and radical steps that need to take place. So in essence, yep, there's temporary right of way, but there's also some permanent acquisitions. Portions of properties. There's a lot of hodgepodge ownerships and properties down here that they discovered during this process. So some of it is permanent acquisition or permanent easement in addition to the temporaries denoted here.
You see, then all that will be reimbursed by the county?
Correct. But it has to be facilitated by the city.
City, yeah.
It's our project, and we've got the yes, that's the mechanism that's been established. Interesting, we have to
make me feel they're getting reimbursed, but just the whole logistics behind it is we're paying them to improve their property. It's just ludicrous to me, but whatever. As long as we're getting reimbursed.
Yep.
No.
And we are actually even acquiring real estate in Valley View to facilitate this project, but because it's a county-sponsored project, the county has the jurisdiction to span municipal corporate limits, and it's just a very unique situation. But it's, this mechanism, we think, is a nice way to go, and it's been working real good so far.
Well, Don, when ultimately will the new bridge be finished? Not for about 3-4 more years?
Yeah, it's a long process. It's like little separate mini-projects getting the power. First getting the trees cut down, then getting the power poles moved, getting the aerials transferred from old to new poles as you watched the process on 21, and then just to get to a point where they can start constructing a temporary road and bridge, at the point where they can transition traffic and then start reconstructing this bridge. So it's a very complex, staged, sequenced series of operations to maintain traffic. I do believe that concludes my slideshow and everything I intended to attempt to discuss with the committee.
Very good.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
Any other questions related to this building plan?
So, I mean, I have some other issues under this last one. So, the Lafayette subdivision, Don, you received the tree planting. I don't know what you want to call it, but we got to have it back to you by March 12th. And so, just looking at the trees that we picked out to put back in here, I mean, if you drive up Lafayette and you look on the north side of Lafayette, every tree looks like a half tree because the illuminating company came in and they chopped them trees down to nothing. So all the growth is on the north side of the tree. There's nothing on the south side that has the wire. So the trees that we picked out to put back in this subdivision, they're all 75 feet tall with a 50-foot spread, 70 feet tall with a 50-foot spread. The same thing's going to happen in 10 or 12 years. That, you know, the whole subdivision is going to look like half trees again. So, I mean, I think that maybe we should reconsider what we want to put in there and pick tree lawn trees that are dwarfs that, you know, don't even reach the high tension wires. It just, you know, it looks terrible when you drive up Lafayette and there you got a, you know, these huge trees that have been there for 15, 20 years now. And they look like they're cut in half. So, and the trees that you guys picked out, I mean, I don't know who picked them out, but they're all big trees again, and the same thing's gonna happen. So, even if you put them back 15 feet off the street, I mean, with a 50-foot spread, the illuminating company's going to come in and whack them all down in 10 years, and it's going to look like hell again. So I just, maybe we should reconsider what trees we can pick out to put in there. And, you know, in my mind, a tree lawn tree should be a tree lawn tree, not be in somebody's front yard. You know, I don't know. This, I think that maybe we should reconsider the trees that we picked out to put in there.
Tom, what were the trees on the Lafayette list?
Pardon, Dale? I didn't hear you.
What were the trees on the Lafayette list? Because so, I got
there's a sweet gum tree that mature height is 75 feet.
Right.
There's an elm tree that mature height is 70 feet with a 50-foot spread. So what I'm saying is, even if you put them back to the edge of the property line, which is 15 feet off the street, you know, minus that 15 feet, and you split, you're still 10 feet into the street, they're going to come and cut them down, you know?
Right. The part of the, so you're referencing not the project that we just completed, you're referencing historical damage done by the utilities to maintain their wires free and clear of trees.
Right, but now we're planting new trees, Mayor.
Understand.
They're going to do the same thing that they did, you know, 15 years ago when they put these.
Well, I'm under the impression that we're going to move into the front yards with some of these trees rather than the tree lawn, dedicated to the tree lawn, so that we can avoid this situation 30 years from now.
I mean, how far are you going to move into their yards? I mean, these things got a 40, 50-foot spread.
Well, I'm not saying that we're going to, but if you're in the yard 10 feet or 15 feet, it's better than being in the tree lawn where you're right next to it.
But even if you're in the yard 15 feet, I'm just thinking ahead. Now, those wires aren't right on the edge of the street. They're in 8 feet. So you're only 7 feet away from the wires. At a 50-foot spread, it's going to be the same thing in 15 years.
Do you know what? By the time that those trees mature, you and I won't be here, first of all. And second of all, I think they'll have a mechanism in place to manicure trees at that point, that where these utilities won't just have clear-cutting capacity to just go in and just desecrate a tree. They have to be more sensitive to the situation themselves. But I understand, it's sad when you drive up and you see some of these, the way they've rounded out gutted the trees. And so I think there's got to be some mechanism in the future that allows for manicuring rather than just desecrating.
Right. Well, that was one of the reasons when we've had the discussions. We talked about trying to make sure that we've set the trees back, offering the property owner the opportunity to have the tree and have the tree planted, but with enough of a distance so that it's not going to be an issue. So the one question I had was, what's the disease resistance for the elm, for instance? I know that Dutch elm disease basically decimated the elm trees in this yard years ago. And are they now disease resistant, or is that maybe not a good choice?
Chairman Paverka, we did have GPD landscape architects look at the tree selections and tree species, and I do believe they feel comfortable that an American elm that should be resistant and do much better. And the plan that they prepared was specifically for the Brookside Brantley, but we wanted to try to maintain that same sort of consistency in some of these division projects to maintain some simple flavor.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to sign off. I have to go to the Planning Commission meeting, so thank you. It was a good, productive meeting, and I appreciate the people that contributed to the success of it. So thank you very much, and have a good evening, everyone.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
And ditto, I'll be joining Greg.
Me too.
I have a quick question or comments. I agree with Councilman Narduzzi, and I think that we do want to look to the future, you know, and, you know, I wish I was as optimistic as Mayor Kurtz was that there is going to be some better way to do it than the way they clear cut now. And I hope so, but I'm not sure. So I would wonder why we couldn't make our decisions now for the future and look to maybe something that wasn't of the same magnitude. Is there a reason, Don, that other size trees are not being given consideration, smaller trees?
Ellis, I think, no, not specifically, other than I think that the mayor's comment that these trees are going to be 2-inch in caliper when they're planted. So we often get the comments that we're planting little sticks and Charlie Brown trees in rights of way. So it's out there a ways in the future, but I think it's prudent to think about it and plan for it even now. But it's something we could revisit, something very smaller. Councilman Andrews, you mentioned dwarf species of things.
I have to.
Well, Chairman,
the possibility of making some kind of a combination. For this particular area, obviously maples and oaks are the prevalent trees historically. So, you know, those seem like they could be a possible option, providing you have enough space for setback. So,
Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, just to add more, just a little bit, I know you got to get going, but I would just say that I think that we have to also look at this from a perspective of what's the tree's function. You know, we're taking down mature trees, we're putting up these smaller trees, and that has a real impact on soil erosion, flooding issues. So, you know, there is a yin and yang to this and a give and take. And so I would encourage to, as we talked about in the utilities meeting, I think Mayor Kurtz is going to kind of rehabilitate our tree commission here, and council will have some say into who might be on there, getting some solid people who can help us to get the right trees for the right soil. They may not necessarily be for decorative purposes, I guess is my point. I understand where Councilperson Arduzzi and Councilperson Caboose is coming from, but there's also a much more important function here, and that's the practical function. And what we see in every one of these road projects is after we take down the old trees and we try to put up these smaller trees or decorative trees, that doesn't function necessarily the way a tree ordinarily would as it relates to stormwater drainage. So we have to also keep that in mind and make sure that the right trees for the right soil and that function are being considered as well.
Well, and this particular topic is one we have to address soon, obviously, because we do need to have the trees ordered. And it would be sad to, you know, have choices that will not work out and then have to revisit the topic. So, all right, anybody else have any other items under number five?
I just have one quick thing, and it'll be fast. The mayor wanted me to mention that there, Jim and my legislation for a winter snow band parking will be on next Tuesday's legislation. There will be no parking day or night from December 1st to March 15th for a new process of snow plowing. You want me to just let everyone know, if anybody has questions about it, feel free to call me before Tuesday and I can explain everything more in detail.
Okay, thank you, Councilperson Walt Chanoway. Anybody else? All right, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So move.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you all.
Good meeting. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Go on, everyone.
Thank you. Glad you could make it, Tom. All right. Debbie, I need to jump on the lick for planning.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.